Hello and welcome back to the TTP, Tatani Talks Parsha. This year where we talk about the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep, sometimes doing it 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. This week we're looking at Akiv, and we've talked about this in the past. The idea of using the word Akiv is very strange, very interesting. Akiv, if you hearken, shouldn't it be im shamoa tishma'un, im... different words you could use, but why Akiv Tishma'un? Because you hearken to these laws. The Pasuk says in Devarim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Bet, right in the beginning of the Parsha, V'haya Akiv Tishma'un et mishpatim ha'elam. It will be because you will heed these ordinances and keep them and perform. Hashem will keep for you the covenant, the kindness that he swore to your forefathers. The question being, why use the word Akiv? It's kind of reminiscent of a different word in Hebrew, kind of reminiscent of other aspects or relating to other things. So Rashi immediately picks up on it, and the Chabad.org brings out the source that talk about how the commentaries dwell on the Hebrew word Akiv in this verse, an uncommon synonym for because or to listen. Many see a connection with the word Akiv, same spelling, which is a different pronunciation, which means heel. Kind of reminiscent of the word that works for heel, which is Yaakov, that Yitzchak and Rivka gave to their son, who was grabbing onto the heel of his brother Esav, trying to hold him back from being the one that came out first. Rashi interprets it as an allusion to those mitzvahs which a person tramples with his heels. The Torah is telling us to be equally diligent with all of God's commandments, no less with those that seem less significant to our finite minds. God forbid there shouldn't be such a thing. You know, Pirkei Avos teaches us that we should be careful with all kind of mitzvahs, heavy like a light mitzvah, quote unquote, versus a heavy mitzvah, because we don't know matan schar and shal mitzvahs, because we don't know the reward given for mitzvahs in general. We should make sure to fulfill all the commandments. We should make sure to be involved in all the commandments and to be scrupulous as we can in all commandments that come to our hand. A great illustration of this, in my opinion, is when you come across shiluach hakin, when you come across a bird's nest and you want to take the egg, you have to send away the mother bird. And Lemanya Arichon Yamecha, the Torah promises Blineder that you're going to get long life for it. The only other time I could think of, and this is not my comparison, other commentators have explained, the only other time we're guaranteed long life is Kabir Esamecha V'Esimecha, Lemanya Arichon Yamecha. Honor your father and mother. Why are the two compared? Because we don't know really what effect different mitzvahs have, and we have to be careful to take care of all the mitzvahs, whether they're a quote-unquote seemingly light one or a quote-unquote seemingly strict one. In general, we got to do what we can to be involved in the mitzvahs. Don't trample on the mitzvahs. Don't say, ah, that mitzvah is not so important, I'm not going to do it. That mitzvah is not so chashuv, I'm not going to quote-unquote waste my time or spend my efforts in such a way. All mitzvahs that come to your hand, all mitzvahs should come to your hand, all mitzvahs should be good. Don't trample them. Don't stomp on them. The Ibn Ezra and Ramban, Nachmanides, interpreted in the sense of in the end, in the heels of, or in the sense that the heel is at the extremity of the body, the reward being something that follows the action. Meaning you do an action and then you get the reward. You can't seemingly feel content until you finish the action. A lot of times I'm involved in a project, if I'm involved in an action, I'm involved in taking care of something, I don't feel content until I get to the heel of the action, I get to the end of the action, I get to the end, the result of it. So if I'm involved in, for example, writing the notes for the day for my students in the Board of Ed as an OT, I don't feel content till all 8 notes are in. You're supposed to see 8 kids a day, 5 days a week. In the summer, it's really 7. So until you get all of them done, I don't feel content until it's done. And if I'm giving a shiur or whatnot, I don't feel content till it's fully done. The life shiur, for example, I don't feel content until the whole hour is done. And in general, when we go through actions, we go through things, make sure you get to the end, to the heel of the matter, till you reach the end, till you finish off the action. We know that the Pirkei Avos teaches us Schar halicha biyado, a person who doesn't get to do the action but has intention to go, he gets the intention, he gets the reward for intention. But there's better aspect than that, to actually have intention and to do it. That's even better. You know, we learn and we study l'shmor v'la'asos l'kayim. We want to guard and we want to teach and we want to act. The best thing to do is to learn about mitzvahs, to act about the mitzvahs, to teach the mitzvahs and give the mitzvahs over to those around us. Be involved, really act upon the mitzvahs, do the mitzvahs, and make sure they're involved in your life, and make sure to see them to completion. Make sure you get them to completion. Get to the end of the action. Similar interpretation is given by Or HaChaim, who explains that true satisfaction and fulfillment comes at the end. Like we were saying, you see the action to the end, you get the real satisfaction once you're done, the complete fulfillment of the mitzvot. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his lifetime before his passing, he made sure to set aside the three Ari Mikla, the three cities of refuge, for someone who unintentionally kills. He set them on Iver HaYarden in the tribes of Reuven, Chatzishev and Menashe, and God, those 2.5 tribes, not even half, but those tribes that were on the Aver Yarden that wanted that part of the land, Moshe made sure to have those three Ari Mikla, even though they wouldn't be, you know, usable, they wouldn't come into effect until Yehoshua set aside the other three throughout the whole Israel proper. And it's fascinating to think that the 2.5 tribes needed three cities in Aver Yarden, while the whole rest of the 10 tribes needed the whole rest of Israel needed three cities. So the whole Israel gets three cities, while Aver Yarden, just those two tribes, needed three whole cities. Does that mean that that part of the land, those people were more bloodthirsty, were more accident prone? I don't know, but it's interesting side note to think Aver Yarden had three cities, while the whole rest of Israel only had three cities, six cities proper to run to. But Moshe set them aside, even though he wouldn't get to the end. Meaning, even if we have a mitzvah and we don't think we can complete it, you gotta start it. Because Pirkei Avos says, Lo alecha hamlacha l'gmor, v'lo ata ben chorin l'hibatel mimena. It's not upon you always to finish things, but you gotta at least start it. The best thing is to get to the heel to the matter, to finish it, to see it through. But at least to start it, at least to begin it, at least to make there be an opening. Yeah, so you start a project, but the project doesn't finish before your lifetime. It takes 145 years, but you're only around 120 years. We should be Zoche, but the project at least is there, at least is in existence. When I started the podcast, as a side note, I didn't know where it would go. I didn't know how it would take and what would happen, but at least I started it, and Hashem let me have one season, two season, three season, four season, and we should be Zoche to have many more seasons and many years. I may have had some shana taken care to try to use my voice for good, but got at least started, got at least begin it. Writing the children's book didn't seem like it took off, but at least I started it, at least I put it on paper, at least I have the idea out there in the universe, at least I could say, yes, I put the characters on the page, yes, I put the items on the page, yes, I put my thoughts down as notes in my virtual notebook, at least I started it. You gotta at least start it. It's best to follow through. It's best to get to the end. The true satisfaction comes to the end, comes to the fulfillment. Like when you read a novel, when we read Jewish novels, I love reading through the story, but I don't feel the conclusion, the climax of the story till the end to see how it gets through. The whole time we're sitting at the edge of our seat. If we watch a show or a movie or a mystery, a thriller we're reading, especially a Jewish novel, we want to see where it goes. Where does the true satisfaction come? Lahavdil, at the whole end of the story, at the conclusion, how everything wraps up. So too, when we do mitzvahs, we get the true satisfaction, as the Or HaChaim points out, at the end, the complete fulfillment of the mitzvah. And Rabbi Noach Bechaya sees it as an illusion that the reward, the akiv, we do receive in this world is but a lowly and marginal heel aspect of the true worth of the mitzvahs. Understand that the Pirkei Avos teaches that all of the reward in this world, all the nachat ruach, all the satisfaction we might have in this world is nothing compared to what we can get in the next world. 1 hour, quote unquote, whatever that means, yafasha achas be nachat dekor ruach be chay ha'olam haba mikol chay ha'olam hazeh. 1 hour, whatever that means, of the next world is better than all of the hours of this world. But yafa tshuva masam tovim, yafa sha'achas tshuva masam tovim me'olam hazeh mikol chay ha'olam haba. This world, it's better to have 1 hour of doing good deeds and repentance, because you can't do that in the next world. The next world is about stagnation. You can't move up or down. This world is about movement. The next world is about stagnation, reaping the rewards of what you do in this world. So understand that if you do get reward in this world, there's no comparison to what the real reward awaits you in the world to come, being in the divine presence, basking in Hashem's presence, being near the heavenly chariot, whatever that means, being in your own, you know, your own nachla, your own inheritance in the world to come, your own Gan Eden aspect we should all be zoche after 120 years. Balaturim gives a gematric explanation, a gematriatic explanation. The word Ekev is used because it has a numerical value of 172, the number of words in the Ten Commandments. Tzemach Tzedek, the third Chabad rabbi, sees it as a reference to Ekve de Mashiach, the generation of the heels of Mashiach. So we think about how Ekev, when we're involved in the heel is the aspect that really supports the whole body. We think about how the Ten Commandments really support the whole Torah, the basic aspects of believing in Hashem, not using His name in vain, not believing in any other gods, understanding to honor your father and mother, to do Shabbos, no murder, no idolatry, no coveting, no jealousy, no kidnapping, no stealing, and making sure to take care of everyone around us. That's the heel, the crux of everyone around us. And we think about how we're in the heel of the Mashiach, the Ikved Mashiach. We can see how there's so much tragedy, there's so much loss, so much craziness, especially Corona and whatnot. We know that it's the generation of Mashiach. We almost feel His footsteps. We can almost hear Him coming. The heels of Mashiach is the last generation of the exile, because we're the spiritually lowest generation due to the descent of the generations. It is the generation in which the Mashiach, footsteps of Mashiach can already be heard. This is the generation that will hearken to these laws, as Rambam explains. The Torah has already promised people of Israel will return to Hashem. At the end of their exile, will be immediately redeemed. We see a resurgence of Torah throughout the whole world. We see how technology, smartphones and computers and internet can really connect everyone through Torah. The podcast idea, which I love, of course, and use it myself for Torah and for a non-Torah matter of OT. How we can use videos, and how there could be Instagram and Pinterest and Twitter, which are crazy inventions in general. They could be used for good or bad, but they could be used for goodness. They could be used for good. That's the idea of technology, even though there's such bad out there. So many apps and so many things could be used for such terribleness, but really could be used for really good things. And that's the whole idea, how we could spread Torah. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook. The Jewish organizations, OU, Chabad, could say, look us up on Twitter. Look us up on Instagram. Look at the posts we gave a Dvar Torah for Shabbos, for example. It could be used good. Heel of the matter is to realize, the heel of the matter is to realize that the Mashiach footsteps can really be heard. Really, it's coming. May it soon be today. May it be today. Speedily in our days, it would be wonderful if Mashiach came today. There would be peace in the world and wonderful good things in the world. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, our commitment to Torah should be such that it permeates us entirely, so that also our head, the lowest and the least sensitive part of the person, hearkens to these laws, observes them, and does them. We want to hearken to these laws. We want to observe them. We want to make sure we do them. We want to make sure that we have a good relationship with Hashem. Sorry, I got a little louder. My watch was beeping. We want to make sure that our commitment to Torah is good, that it permeates us entirely, so that the heel, even our heel, the lowest and least sensitive part of the person, hearkens to these laws, observes them, and does them. In other words, our relationship with Hashem should not be confined to the holy days of the year or to certain holy hours we devote to prayer and study, but should also embrace our everyday activities. Indeed, this lowly and spiritually insensitive part of our life is the foundation of our relationship with Hashem, in the same way that the heel is the base upon which the entire body stands and moves. So the basic idea is, don't trample the mitzvos, don't stamp on the mitzvos, don't stand in them or crush them in a bad way. Understand the word heel is used for many reasons. It's allusion to the idea of trampling on the mitzvos. Don't trample them. An allusion to the idea that the reward follows the action. Do the action, then the reward. The idea being that we get real satisfaction at the end of the mitzvah. Follow it to completion. The real idea thinking that the real mitzvahs, the real heel aspect, the real management of the mitzvah to get the reward is really in the next world and not in this world. And to realize that this is the heel of the time that Mashiach is coming. May He be speedily in our days. And to realize that we should have that the Torah permeates us fully, from our heel to our head, that we're standing on the mitzvos keep us up. The heel of matters to realize that the word heel is used for many reasons, to teach us to keep close to Torah, to be involved in ourselves, from our lowliest aspect to our best aspects, to be involved in the mitzvos. And if we're involved in the mitzvos in such a way, if we make sure that the mitzvos permeate us, we make sure that we really connect to the mitzvos, and we make sure that it really is involved with us, that we could really have the mitzvahs flow through our very being, then we could say that not only do we stand on them, we don't trample them, they stand us up, they keep us fully standing and fully erect, and they make sure that they bring us into the next world. The heel of the matter is to understand Don't trample the mitzvahs. Take them with you. Take them through completion. Make sure you get the satisfaction at the end. Make sure you realize that it'll bring us to the next world, is where the real reward comes. That the Torah should permeate us. We should have such commitment to it from our heel to our head, and understand that it's an allusion to all the mitzvahs. And if we do so, may we be zilcha to bring Mashiach speedily in our day, and may He come. May He come today. This has been the TTP Tani Talks Parsha. Join us next time, where we talk about the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep.